A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome in to the Crimson Corner podcast and the Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com. What does that mean? That means that the Ute guy and the BYU guy are going to be talking some hoops here on the Crimson Corner and Cougar Tracks mix, I guess, are we going to call that?
Let's get weird.
Trevor Allen, Mitch Harper. Big game coming up on Wednesday night at the John M. Huntsman Center. Got Utah Utes and the BYU Cougars. Both teams coming off of wins, but both teams are in different phases of their seasons right now because BYU, it's like Christmas morning. Yoeli Childs will make his season debut after sitting out the last nine games due to a ridiculous NCAA fiasco again. It seems like we have one of those per year, and it happened to be Yoeli Childs this year. And then the Utes are a very young team, and obviously a lot of the focus is on football right now. But Mitch, how are you, man?
Doing great, Trevor. How kind of you to take a break from the football coverage to mix it up with the lowly Cougars and the basketball front, the West Coast Conference Cougars. How kind of you, Trevor.
I will say that BYU having to face the Zags every year in basketball is not fun to do, but it is fun when they're really, really good, and they are about every single year. And Utah faces teams like Oregon and, you know, really in basketball, the Pac-12 in men's basketball isn't as good, especially as women's basketball.
Seeing an uptick, though, this year. It seems like the Pac-12 is going to be a pretty good league this season. But, yeah, this is a big game. You know, BYU and Utah, once upon a time, this was the game in the state of Utah. It wasn't the football rivalry. It was basketball back in the 80s, early 90s. It was all about the basketball rivalry, and it's definitely taken a backseat to football in that sense here in the state. But still, there's a lot of history. There's a lot of intensity. It's basically two brothers duking it out, wrestling in the backyard. Should be a fun game come Wednesday night.
So as you look at this BYU team, 6-3, having not been able to play Yoeli Childs for nine games, is this about where you thought BYU would be standing as far as wins and losses?
No, not at all. I thought they were going to be around 4-5. I said on Cougar Tracks that, you know, they're going to be probably at best 4-5, maybe 5-4. I didn't see 6-3 at all. What they did in Maui, in the Maui Invitational, that was impressive. Going 2-1, just blowing out UCLA, who I think is probably going to be in the bottom half of the Pac-12 conferences. It's going to be a tough rebuild job for Mick Cronin. It's going to take a lot of time. And then crushing Virginia Tech, a good Virginia Tech team, who's probably going to be a quad one win for BYU. That's huge. And now BYU's feeling confident. And oh, by the way, you add now one of the best, as you mentioned, players, I think one of the top 25 best players in college basketball in Yoeli Childs. I was watching him in practice yesterday, and this dude, he threw down a sledgehammer dunk that was just like, this guy is amped. He is ready to be back on that court. He has been waiting for far too long. He's ready to go. I'm expecting a big, big game from Yoeli Childs. He might be a little bit too hyped early on. Very curious to see how he plays in the early going, kind of gets himself transitioned back into the flow of an actual game. First time with Mark Pope, but Yoeli's going to be really good.
Where does he fit in now? Like, obviously, he's now your centerpiece on this basketball team, but as you look at it, other guys have had to fill in for him. Whose minutes has he taken over for BYU, especially when he comes thrusting back into the lineup?
Yeah, so, I mean, Colby Lee was the guy that was manning the post, him and Dalton Nixon. And Colby Lee, he was a guy that, you know, kind of awkward, even Barstool Big Cats. Like, look how that dude runs. And Mark Pope was like, hey, this Colby Lee, man, it's aesthetically not pretty, man, but He's pretty around the basket, and he's done a nice job for BYU in relief of Yoeli Childs. And suddenly, BYU feels pretty confident. They got a solid eight-man rotation to work with going into a game. But Dalton Nixon in the front court, probably going to start alongside Yoeli Childs there. And then you got guys like Jake Toulson, TJ Haas, and then Alex Barcelo, former Arizona transfer. Saw limited playing time the last two seasons with Sean Miller's Wildcats the past few years. But BYU's pretty good. They're solid. I think that they're still kind of every day trying to get better, so they're in a position come March to be playing their best basketball at that juncture. But, I mean, I look at Utah. I'm curious, Trevor. And again, this is Cougar Tracks and Crimson Corner, a hodgepodge, like kind of mixed crossover edition rivalry podcast as we break down BYU and Utah on the hardwood. It's all powered by KSLSports.com. How is Utah feeling right now? I mean, that tournament down at Coastal Carolina, that just didn't feel – like BYU's coming feeling good after their tournament holiday tournament run. Utah's, I felt like that kind of maybe altered a little bit of the outlook maybe fans had on this Utah basketball team. What would you say?
Well, of what it was is that it was a learning experience. And a lot of this, especially in this phase for this Utah basketball team, when you have 11 freshmen and 12 new players, period, one of them being a junior college transfer, you're going to be seeing that. Because when they went to Myrtle Beach playing three games in four nights, It messes with you a little bit. And I mean, obviously, you know, for these young guys, they had to do it in AAU and when they were playing preps and things like that, but not having to do it at the college level and to play the host school who basically punched you in the mouth in that first game, taking on, the Coastal Carolina,
the Chanticleers.
Chanticleers. I was going to ask you what that, I was like, Chanticleers. What is a Chanticleer, by the way?
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I do not know.
Well, at least you know the mascot. Because
as someone who covers BYU football in the month of November, I should know these weird mascot names, but I didn't know the Chanticleers.
That's actually a great point. And then, you know, beating a team in the Bobcats from Ohio, it was, you know, it was one of those games that Utah had to win. If they were to lose all three of those games, it would have been a major disappointment. But if you look at it, they were the only Power 5 school in that tournament to lose. You had Villanova and Baylor also in that tournament, and Villanova and Baylor played each other in the championship. But of what it was trying to get these guys to play in a tournament-style environment and doing it at the college level. And something that Larry said after the tournament that they took away from it is that there were some games where you got to check off some boxes. You got to play hard, you got to play together, and you got to defend. And he said there were some games where we would only check one box and we lost those games. But you want to at least check two boxes and in order to have a chance of winning the game. And he felt like in their two losses, they weren't playing together, and at times they weren't playing hard. But it also was certain times that, you know, a guy that Utah is going to heavily rely on is Booth Gotch. And he's a guy who is kind of sporadic right now. He'll have great games of 15, 16 points, and then he'll have 5 points and shoot 2 of 12 from, you know, field goals, and then go 0 for 5 from downtown. And then there's games where you're just like, he's a special player. But it's one of those things where Utah just had to learn how to play in this tournament style environment. And then coming home and, you know, beating on a team that you should have won by more and didn't, and, you know, it was a little puzzling for me to see them only win by 4 points.
Do you think, you know, again, breaking down BYU and Utah, you can hear the game on KSL News Radio, the BYU coverage. The game's going to be televised on the Pac-12 network. Tip-off is at 6 o'clock, so keep that in mind. Early tip.
Yep.
So get to the Huntsman Center early because we're going to have some weeknight traffic to potentially deal with. But I'm curious, you know, Yoeli, he's clearly BYU star.
Yeah.
And they got Jake Toulson, who was WAC Player of the Year, and TJ Haas, who's coming off a WCC Player of the Week nod. I'm curious, though, who's the star of Utah? Like, if the game's close, because I could see this game being close, because BYU, even though they got some star power up at the top, they're still kind of, you know, they could give you a game where they're like, it's off, and their shooting is not going down, the shots aren't going down, and this thing could be much closer than maybe people are expecting. In the clutch, who's that guy Utah's turning to when the game's on the line?
Timmy Allen. Timmy Allen's a guy who has really just taken the reins of being a leader on this team, and he shows it every single night. He's a walking double-double when he wants to be. He's a very physical player. He isn't a guy who isn't going to shoot a lot of threes, which is why teams leave him wide open. But he's a guy who is physical and likes to get to the basket and likes to get to the foul line. He's great at the foul line as far as shooting, And he's just one of those guys that will bump and be really physical. And I like the matchup of him against Yoli Childs if that happens to be the case. The only problem is I don't think that that's going to be the matchup. I think that they're going to put Riley Batten on him or try and put Chune on him because I don't know if Brandon Carlson's going to be playing in that game. But, you know, talking to Larry on Tuesday at his press conference, he said that, you know, BYU is a very well-rounded team, that they're really good from, you know, shooting from downtown. And you even, you know, mentioned it as far as at the Maui, you know, tournament. They were really good shooting the basketball downtown good. In their wins. When they didn't shoot the ball well, it's kind of like they live by the three, die by the three.
No doubt.
But for Utah, Timmy Allen, whenever he's playing well, and right now he hasn't had a bad game. He's had bad halves, but he hasn't had a bad full game. And, you know, you really only have three options as far as who your star player is and your go-to guy for Utah, and that's Booth Gotch, Riley Batten, and Timmy Allen. And right now, Timmy Allen has far and away done that.
If Utah wins this game, what will they have done to get that win?
They're going to have to shut down BYU shooting from downtown. Yeah. Plain and simple. You've got to make sure that they earn every three they're going to make, and you've got to limit Yoli. You're not going to shut him down. There isn't a guy on Utah's roster who can shut down Yoli Childs, whether he's in his first game back or in his 10th game back. Yoli Childs is that special of a basketball player. And for them to be able to, I would say if you limit him to, I don't know, 15 points and not have him go off for 20 or 25 and have him be the sole reason why BYU's still in the game, I think that if they're able to limit that part and at least make BYU really earn all their shots from downtown, I think Utah will have a chance of being in this ball game.
I think for BYU, if they're going to come away with a victory, I think they got to set the tone early. I think BYU, they got to come out that first, you know, before the first media timeout at that under 16 mark. I think they got to have a lead and they got to really get Yoli involved early, because I think that there's going to be a concerted effort to contain Yoli Childs, obviously. But I think that TJ Haas, he's got to knock down his shots, and Toulson has got to come up big too. If those guys are knocking down their first attempt, it's going to bode well for BYU. So I think the early going is going to be the tone setter, because I think if BYU against a young team in Utah, they can jump on them. It might kind of have Utah questioning themselves. I like Rylan Jones a lot. Mm-hmm. I think he's been a kid that I heard about when he was an eighth grader. He was going to be a special talent, and we're already seeing that as a true freshman. He's going to have a great career at Utah, but still very young, as you've highlighted, 11 freshmen on this roster for the Utes. So I think BYU, they're much older. And that's, I know you're thinking, oh, BYU being old, typical, but they just have a lot of seniors. Yoli's a four-year senior. It's uncommon to see this many seniors on a roster, and I think that's going to be huge for BYU to kind of just impose their will early in the game. If they don't, I think this could be a game that's going to be close throughout if BYU doesn't jump on them early.
Well, and, you know, talking about the age, BYU obviously has the age in it because of the mission, but Utah, so basically BYU has mission guys who are seniors.
Right.
Utah has freshmen who are coming off of missions. So a little bit older, but they're just starting their college career. So, you know, in 4 years' time down the road, we'll all be saying how old these youths are, because three guys are coming off of missions this year. But now as you look at the matchup, Rylan Jones, I like him guarding the transfer.
Alex Barcelo.
Yeah, and I like that matchup just because I think it'll kind of test Rylan, because Rylan's been really good on defense. He's one of those guys who will take charges all the time, and he also takes command of the offense. And I think that it would be a good test to take on a guy who is a freak of an athlete, at least from what I've seen, and is that upgrade button of Nick Emery, if you will.
I was going to say, a little bit less intensity with this number four in the Huntsman Center than the previous number.
Well, then you also don't have Brandon Taylor. There isn't really a guy on this Utah basketball team who has that kind of energy, and it wasn't anything bad against Brandon Taylor. He was just one of those guys who brought energy to the team. And, you know, all these guys on this Utah basketball team, it's a different kind of vibe. It's not anything bad. It's just different than what Brandon Taylor brought.
And I really think, too, when you talk about vibes and stuff, I think, you know, a lot is made always about the football rivalry, how, you know, is it tamed down a little bit? I think it has, one, because Utah has won consistently every year. Mm-hmm. But, two, I think the coaches have that mutual respect. So I think it's naturally had an effect on the fan bases, where we haven't seen these sideshow antics kind of take over the game. But in basketball, I just don't I don't feel like there's that juice, that heat that comes with that rivalry. Like it once said, like I remember back in the day with the Mountain West Conference, you would see some games and it was like packed with BYU and Utah fans, whether it was the Marriott Center or the Huntsman Center. It was just an electric atmosphere. I hope it's a good atmosphere on Wednesday night, but I've got my doubts because I don't feel like either fan base is that hyped about the game, which is kind of a shame because I want, you know, both college basketball in this state to thrive because there's such a deep history in the state.
I honestly think that the attendance is still going to be full enough than what the Huntsman Center has been in the past.
Okay.
Plain and simple, people haven't been going to the basketball games. Student sections will come out in spurts. It's just a matter of who they're playing. If they're playing Oregon or Arizona State or BYU, for instance. But the thing is, we haven't seen BYU at the Huntsman Center since 2015.
Right.
And that was a pretty packed game. But you also are taking into consideration the usual Utah fans are probably not going to spend money on tickets because they're either going to the Pac-12 championship game or saving up for the bowl game or something like that because this fall is 2 days before Utah and Oregon over in Santa Clara.
I want to get to that real quick. Score prediction for BYU and Utah on the hardwood.
I honestly don't know of what to make of this game just because of all the new faces, all the young players on this Utah basketball team. How are they going to react to a rivalry game? So I think that it's going to be – I hate to put Utah as a losing team, but I just don't – I think BYU is too talented.
You can say it.
BYU is too talented. And having Yoli back, it's going to provide a lot of energy for BYU. And I think, especially if Brandon Carlson doesn't play on Wednesday night, I think it's really going to hurt the Utes. So I think that Utah loses by probably 8 to 10 points.
You know what? I think, based on that prediction, I think it's time for a new name. I think it's time for Cougar Corner over on the Crimson Corner.
Watch your mouth.
I think it's time.
Don't mess with my brand.
No, I think that, again, that's Trevor Allen, the host of the Crimson Corner podcast. I'm going to say I think BYU wins. I think that what they did in Maui gave them so much confidence, and the way they're shooting the ball, and now those open looks are going to be in droves, I think, because now Yoli Child's going to have so much attention on the defensive end. Guys like Toulson, guys like Haas are going to get so many more open looks, and it's bound to bode well, I think, for BYU. I think BYU wins. I think there might be some stretches, though, where there's some droughts by both teams. I think that you could see that, some 4-plus-minute droughts in this game. I'm going to say BYU 77, Utah 69. I think BYU gets an 8-point victory, and that would be their third straight win in the rivalry game on the basketball side of things. Obviously, football, Utah has won the last 9, and on that football side, I mean, big game on the gridiron, Utah and Oregon. You're going to Santa Clara. The Utes going to get it done, or are they going to get to the playoff?
I honestly think they will get it done. As far as getting to the playoff, it depends on what happens. If Georgia is able to knock off the LSU Tigers, no, they're not going to get
right.
in. The only other possible scenario, if Utah doesn't get it done in the Pac-12, or if Utah gets it done in the Pac-12 championship game, but still doesn't get into the playoff, is what the Oklahoma Sooners do. If the committee puts them ahead of Utah in that number 4 spot, you know, it just depends. Because both teams' strength of schedules are so close together, but Utah has a slightly stronger schedule than OU. But I just think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's not going to be one of those blowouts that we've been seeing from Utah in the last 8 games. I think it's going to be a lot of fun though. Taking on Oregon.
Here's a hypothetical that I'm kind of intrigued to see how. I mean, I think I know the answer because Utah wants to be in the playoff, but. Mm-hmm. Utah wins the Pac-12 title. Then Georgia beats LSU. Then the ACC game in the nightcap. Ute fans going to have to root for Bronco Mendenhall.
I'm all right with that.
They're going to have to root for Bronco because that's the only other way. Because if Georgia knocks off LSU, yeah, you're right.
By the
Georgia's
way, talk
in.
About what Bronco's done for that team.
I mean, it's been nice. It's been a good job. He's done a really good. His career has been revived. The weight of BYU and the religious angle, it's been lifted off him. I mean, he's a new man. He's a totally different coach. But I think that you know, it's interesting with that angle potentially because that is something that I think no one is giving any credit to, that that still could happen. I think it's a long shot. I mean, Clemson's at another level. They're a four-touchdown favorite, but it'd be interesting nonetheless to see Ute fans maybe cheering for Bronco, a Bronco Mendenhall coach
they
team.
They would do it, too.
Never thought I would see the day.
Well, and, you know,
if that scenario happened.
You and I both, but I also think that Utah knows how much they want to get into the playoff.
Right.
So they would be more than willing to cheer for Bronco Mendenhall. Now, as a guy who covers BYU,
right,
and, but has seen both Oregon and Utah play, how do you see the matchup playing out?
I think Utah's going to win. I think they're going to crush Oregon. I think, honestly, Oregon's overhyped. The talk about them being this new team, physical, Penei Sewell, like, great in-state guy. Love Penei Sewell. The Sewells mm-hmm. are fantastic. Noah Sewell's going to go there. But suddenly this notion that they're a physical football team, no. I was never buying that. I mean, I never did with Oregon. And last year I saw Utah play Oregon, and the Utes were with Armon Shine and Jason Shelley and still beat Oregon. And it's still pretty much the same cast on both sides. And I just think Utah, you know what you're going to get from the Utes. And what, you know, Tyler Huntley has done statistically, I'm stunned. I'm floored that he has produced to the level that he has, and that's a testament to Andy Ludwig mm-hmm. being, I think, a better developer of quarterbacks than a former quarterback in Troy Taylor. It's pretty remarkable to think. But, yeah, I think Utah wins. I don't think they go to the playoff, though, because I think that Oklahoma is going to ultimately get in because brand, money, you know, corporate sponsors, that's going to play a spot here. I mean, I just really think that's going to play a role, and that's the corrupt system of college football. Honestly, it's like if we wanted to get an expanded playoff of eight teams, we needed Alabama to beat Auburn because an 11-1 Alabama getting left out of the playoff would have created change. Mm-hmm. But now this scenario, no one's going to cry for change if Utah gets left out, and that's what's probably going to happen because the power brokers of college football want to keep it the way it is ultimately, and leaving out Utah is not going to rock the boat. If you leave out Oklahoma, you leave out Alabama, obviously not in play now, but if you leave out those type of programs, it's going to create change, and I think they're going to go with the Sooners, assuming they beat Baylor, to get to the playoff.
Do you honestly think, though, just having watched Utah all these weeks, that they are a playoff-caliber team?
You know, that's a great question. I think that Utah defensively is. I still have questions offensively, what Utah would do offensively against a
way
great
more stout defense.
against another elite. But, I mean, it's like they go up against an elite defense every single day. I mean, it's... I feel like Utah is just so consistent that I know what they're going to be every single game, whereas with Oklahoma, whereas with Baylor, I feel like they're kind of a mixed bag of results. And with Oklahoma, we've seen them against the elite of college football, and they usually get the doors blown off them. I mean, they had a good game against Georgia a few years back, but if memory serves me right, they had to have mount a comeback, and they got stomped by Alabama. So Oklahoma always gets this, you know, kickback where they get allowed in. Then they choke. They've never won a playoff game, and they've had three appearances in the playoffs. So I would just be fascinated to see Utah get a shot against. I think they could hang with LSU because I think LSU defensively is not great this year. But I think Ohio State would be a tall, tall order because that's the best team in college football from all three phases. But I'd be curious to see how they line up.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see. I think that Utah gets it done against Oregon. I don't think it's as big of a margin as you would like it. Or
I'm saying 10 points. I say 10 points.
10 points isn't crushing, though.
But I think when I say crushing, I think the manner in which they will beat them.
Crushing Oregon's dreams of the Rose Bowl.
I feel like the game will never feel in doubt to me. Like, I feel like Utah will have
yeah, that makes sense.
Or a game where it's just like Utah is the physically more dominant, imposing team, and Utah is not going to feel threatened. That's just kind of how I see it. I just feel like Utah is 10 points better than Oregon. I know the line's, what, about 4.5 or something?
It's
but
six of Utah right now.
It's moved up. But I think that Utah is going to be in control of this game, and if they take care of what they got to do and they don't have a lot of penalties, you know, 16, 18 penalties like they did against USC, they're going to win this football game, and they're going to have a solid stranglehold on the game.
All right, and then final thing, and then we'll cut this loose. BYU coming off of a loss against the Aztecs of San Diego State. Was that a pretty big disappointment, or is that about what you thought going into the season that they would lose that game?
You know, I was kind of surprised. I was shocked, honestly, that they played the way that they did to only get 3 points. I know one of the top 10 defenses in college football, but that's a terrible look, especially when you're talking about that was the game that was being built up for so many weeks. How much have they improved from that winning streak? How much have they truly improved? And then going up against a solid, not great, but solid team in San Diego State. And that's the performance you show on the heels of your coach getting an extension. It looked like a team that didn't want to be there. And that was a problem when you're talking about this is the coach of the future now. And I think Kalani Sitake should absolutely be the head coach of BYU. He's the best man for the job. But that was not a good look on Saturday night at Montezuma Mesa. So, no, I thought BYU was going to win that game. I did not expect them, though, to play the way they did. That was kind of surprising. And it puts a kind of sour taste on BYU's season, which was seeming so positive and a lot of progress. Suddenly, BYU's got questions at quarterback. Bowl game is going to be very important for Zach Wilson to perform well, because if he doesn't, there's going to be a full-fledged quarterback controversy at BYU once again this offseason.
All right, well, there you have it. So it looks like we have both of us have BYU basketball winning, and then both of us have Utah beating Oregon in on the gridiron.
That's right. It's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. Looking forward to it. Coverage is going to be on KSLSports.com, Trevor A. Sports, Mitch underscore Harper on Twitter, KSL Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You know the drills. So check us out on all of our platforms and on the KSL Sports app.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.